All right, flip to the first tab in your notebook. This is a big day for me. I started this morning at 6:30 talking to the men in the fellowship hall about the ninth commandment. So that means that they ranked me 9 out of top 10. Okay, so I was the ninth teacher. But by the end of the day, I'm the first. As a matter of fact, Harry's the second. I'm going to frame that and put that up in my office. But my commitment to you is when you leave here, you'll understand more about our structure, and you'll be out a lot earlier than you would have had we reversed the order. Okay. On page 1, this is basically a picture. It's an organizational chart. And this, for a lot of people, can be not that interesting. I sat on an airplane in the middle of 2 people. One was a compliance officer for the FAA. And on the other side of me was a person who was a systems analyst for the company that made the airplane that we were on. I was like, good gracious. I couldn't start or end a conversation either way between the two of them. And I laughed when I got off, and I told my wife after I landed, I was talking to her, and she always says, who'd you sit with, you know, da-da-da. And so I told her, I said, now they're probably telling their spouse. I sat next to 2 of the most boring people in the world. One was an executive pastor at a church, and the other was a systems analyst. So what executive pastors do isn't really that flashy, but somebody's got to like this stuff. You know, somebody's got to enjoy looking at things like this and how things get ordered and try to do things in an orderly fashion. We have Briarwood is a large church. Just our staff is probably twice the size of the average church in America. Let me say that again. Just our staff, the people who are on the insurance, take just that, our insurance, just our insurance group, a little over 300 people. That's twice the size of the average church in America. So you have to do things in an orderly fashion. There's got to be some ordered structure by how you do what that is. And that structure has to be dependent on a lot of people to do their job. And so what you have here is not the picture that my prayer sheet is to pray over. That one has the 300 names on it. It's a huge sheet, both sides. My goal is to actually meet everybody that I pray for in a year because there's just turnover in different places. But what this represents is basically our senior staff team and the people that report directly to them. Okay, so basically you get the senior staff, which is Pastor Reeder, has one direct report. I report to Pastor Reeder, and then he manages all 300 of those staff through me. And that's one of the aspects of my job, is that staff development, staff management, to try to figure out how we keep everybody on the same page. Pastor Reeder reports to the session on behalf of all of us. All of our staff serve as an extension of Pastor Reeder. Okay, so the Pastor Reeder is the pastor of the church. None of us are independent contractors. None of us, this role is different and unique and out from under Pastor Reeder. It's very important for all of us. We serve as an extension of his ministry. In other words, the reason you ever went from 1 to 2 was because that senior pastor couldn't do all that he was called to do. And so he hired the second person and then the third. Eventually you get to 300 and something. One of the blessings of a large church is that we get to hire specialists. We have generalists who have different jobs that are very, very general. Small churches have to hire generalists. There's just so many different things in a function in a small church that you're going to have to do a whole bunch of things that you might not be that good at or trained to do or experienced to do, etc. But in a large church, we have the ability to hire specialists, and I'll point that out as we go along. So I report to Pastor Reeder, and then there are 5 men who serve on the team we call the Executive Pastors Leadership Team. That is made up what we would refer to as the 5 branches of ministry. So there are 5 teams, 5 branches of ministry, and I can place all 300+ of our staff in one of those 5 branches. Okay, so they fit, and those branches are simply these columns that you see here on this page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Beginning on the far left, I'll walk us through this. On the far left is the shepherding team, and that is Benny Youngblood, who is our shepherding team pastor. So he serves on the executive pastor's leadership team. Asterisk, how do you know when the executive pastor's leadership team is meeting and when the senior staff team is meeting? That's easy. Is Harry there? So if Harry walks in the door, which he does often in meetings that I'm trying very hard to lead, then he walks in the door. And when he walks in the door, we just became the senior staff team. And so, and he's in charge, by the way. And so there you have it. We're the senior staff team. He walks back out the door. We're now the executive pastor's leadership team. That's the only difference. And so we function together. Pastor Reeder has an open door policy. Any one of the guys on my team can walk right past my door without missing a step and walk into Pastor Reeder's door. We serve together as a team. So Benny Youngblood heads up the shepherding team. And so what Benny does, his focus is the shepherding ministry. So that's going to be focused in the congregational communities and those ministries that flow off of that, okay? The type ministries like mercy and pastoral care, counseling, etc. You'll see they're listed, that Dave Matthews is listed as a shepherding pastor, Dave Lewis a shepherding pastor, Ray Tucker is the membership, and Christian education. So that's the guy that takes care of the Sunday school teachers, the curriculum, etc. Dave Lewis and Dave Matthews are both part-time, and they have probably 3 to 5 different groups of congregational communities. That job is almost exclusively a shepherding job. So just shepherding the different community pastors. We assign almost all of our what we call staff leadership team staff to a congregational community. So in your congregational community, one of our staff are assigned there to your class, okay, to be a liaison and provide leadership in your class. You have counseling. Stephen Cloud is a part of that. And so Stephen obviously is down at the Altadena House. With him is Mark Cushman. This is where I would give you an example of hiring experts. So we can hire someone who is a counselor. Okay, so we hire Stephen Cloud, who is a counselor, and we charge him to do the pastoral counseling of the church. Now, all of our staff at some level do, pastoral staff, do some level of counseling, but we have that counseling ministry to be able to provide that counseling for them. I remember when we were searching for our pastoral care pastor, and we interviewed Mark Cushman. He had been a senior pastor in Dalton, Georgia, for many years, 15, 20, something like that, I can't remember, 15, 20 years, and Mark's just a great guy, and he was talking along, and so we got to a point, and Mark says, now, let me get this straight, Bruce. So what you're saying is, if I came to Briarwood and did this, I would get to meet people in their crisis moment, so the time when they have the most need, they're in the hospital, they've lost a loved one, something's wrong, something's broken, I get to come alongside of them, minister to them, connect them to other people, help other people get involved with them. Now, no, don't take offense at this next part. And I don't have to deal with deacons, and I don't have to deal with elders, and I don't have to have a deal with session, and I don't preach 52 times a year. And I'm looking at him, he goes, and y'all will pay me to do that? And I said, well, Mark, good news, yes, we will. Bad news, not as much as we would have if I didn't know you were wanting to do it that bad. So we got a pretty good deal. I knew that it was a buyer's market. But Mark is he's a specialist. That's of all the things. Now, Mark in a church in Dalton can't do that. He has 472 other things that he has to do, but he can come here and embrace that role, and he is a glove fit in terms of being a pastoral care pastor and then building teams of people around him. Chris Thompson with Mercy, who heads up our Mercy, the largest group of deacons in our diaconate would serve on the Mercy Committee. So if you went to all the committees in the diaconate, that the largest one is going to be that Mercy Committee. And there's multiple different functions within that Mercy Committee, but they work with Chris and doing an excellent job. And then you have Jason Ellerby in his community. He's a shepherding pastor, but his focus is young couples. So he has the youngest 3 classes and starting another. So he's got those youngest couples, and we've hired him to focus on that particular area. And then Michael Wicklin, who also is one of our shepherding pastors. So in a sense, this is the heartbeat. This is where those relationship connections flow. And one of the reasons we've got connected here, Mercy, pastoral care, counseling, etc., is because issues come up. And so within that congregational community, issues bubble up. And hopefully we've got people in the room, around the table, the guys that are sitting and listening and working hard with each other, they have the ability to be very aware of how to help people, how to hand people off to different things. If you were to go to the shepherding team, when those shepherding pastors meet right there, they know everybody in the church. That's the place that if you're going to go and look and just try to figure out, hey, what's going on with so-and-so, they know. They have the ability then to communicate that information to each other, and it helps us tremendously be able to shepherd a large congregation. Benny is a glove-fit shepherding pastor. I mean, he is a shepherd. He thinks shepherd. If you ask him to solve a mechanical problem, he'll do it in a shepherding way. He'll get five people to come around him. They'll all talk about it, have lunch, etc., and then they'll figure out how to do it. He is a shepherd, and he does an excellent job. We refer to him on our team as Second Benny. We don't rank the Bennies because we have two of them, so they're not ranked for first and second in terms of value. It sounds very biblical to have a first Benny and a second Benny. So second Benny came after first Benny. It's just that simple. So you might hear us refer to second Benny. That's Benny Youngblood. First Benny doesn't rank first in any category I know of, except that we just refer to him as first Benny. Leads our ministry team. And this is one, I always want to be around Benny when he tells somebody new what he does. You know, because first of all, I don't know what he does. So that's it. Always, no, I'm just kidding. He does a great job. But it's a hard thing to describe because you wouldn't say to somebody, well, I work at a church, I'm the ministries pastor. And they would go, what else is there? I mean, you know, like, what does the other pastor do? So what Benny does is he leads the team, if you think about it this way, he leads the team that really would be what a smaller church would have as their staff. So they would have a children's director. They would have a youth director. They would have a worship director. They would have men's ministry. They would have women's ministry. So if you were looking, where's that piece of the pie or that branch of ministry that's kind of that standard? These are our targeted ministries, okay? So we have said we need to proactively, okay, we've got our congregational communities and our responding ministries of mercy, pastoral care, shepherding. Now we're going to do proactive ministry in some different areas. And so Benny then heads the team that begins with children's. And that's going to go all the way through down to the nursery, all the way up to sixth grade. John Evans is our children's pastor. Then our youth, Jay Shaw, that would be junior high and senior high. So we have Raiders is our junior high ministry. BYG, our senior high ministry. And Jay does a fabulous job of leading that ministry. Then keep going up the stairs to college. Max Bunn is our college director. That's a very unique ministry at Briarwood because we have many covenant children. I'm teaching a class this summer, and I walked in the first Sunday and found out that in one class that is meeting in a room maybe a fourth the size of this room, in one class there are 14 graduating high school seniors in that class. And the overwhelming majority of them, this is their first graduating senior. So there's been a lot of tears in the class this summer, and then I tried to tell them at the beginning of the summer, by the time I get done with Colossians, you'll be tired of your child. I promise you. Something happens that last summer. I'm not sure what God does, but everybody be ready for everybody to leave. It'll be a hard day, but you'll get past it real fast. And so they're working their way through that. But see, they're our covenant kids. Now they're going to, of those 14, I haven't been smart enough to ask yet, how many different colleges are they going to? Oh, I'll bet easily. I'll bet it's got to be 8 or 10 different colleges that they're going to, just listening to them talk. So they all go away from us, okay? And we want to try to stay connected to them. At the same time, other people's children come here to Samford, to UAB, et cetera. And so that we have two college ministries almost that work, and sometimes never the two shall meet because when one group comes home, the other one leaves. And so Max does a good job of balancing those two different ministries. Then you go into our singles ministry. Stephen King heads up our singles ministry, and that takes singles right out of college all the way up through to the what we'd refer to as the older singles, which is a terrible thing to say, but they let us, and so we get away with it, and no one's come up with a better title yet. Then discipleship and evangelism, that's Eric Rebels that does that, our men's ministry, our discipleship ministry, as well as our evangelism ministry. Christy Herrick is our women's ministry director, does a fabulous job in that context. And so then you have the women's ministry of the church, and then John Haynes, who lacks nothing but energy. And so we just can't get him excited about anything. And so John does a good job of leading the worship ministry. So then, once you see who Benny leads, now you can figure out kind of what he does. He's that ministries pastor who heads up what would be the program ministries or the proactive ministries of the church. Come to the middle branch. In the middle branch, you have the administrative services team. And so this is Matt Moore, who's our church administrator. He's an excellent church administrator. And so this is the service branch. Okay, so this is the actually the place where all the policies and the practices, the facility, the finances, etc., all flows through this. So he oversees the accounting department that Fred Morris is the head of the accounting department. Then our bookstore that Debbie Little runs and does an excellent job there. Communications, Dave Baileyus, and that's the overarching communications ministry, which would take into account the AV team, et cetera, as well as all of our print and website communications. Then Steve Goble is our facilities director. It's a large facility. It's 30 years old. It gets used a tremendous amount. We're hoping it gets used more and more as we work our way, hopefully, out of COVID. And then our food services is Sherry Smith. She hasn't been able to cook anything in over a year, but we remember that she was a pretty good cook back in the day, and we're hoping that she hasn't forgotten how to cook. But she does an excellent job servicing all of our ministries. Lisa Tucker with our library, and then safety and security, Jason Springfield, that is our security for all of our campuses. And when I say all of our campuses, so you've got where we sit right now and then down the barn area, and then all the way out to Highway 119 where the school is. So our safety and security, we have one safety and security department. Sometimes I get asked, does the school have a separate security? No, same leader. We have sheriffs and deputies that serve on the campuses, but under the same leadership so that we have one communication of security there. So that's the service branch of the ministry. Next one over, working from left to right, is the board-directed ministries, and that's Jim Alexander. I don't know if you know Jim. I hope you do. I hope if not, I would encourage you to get to know him. He's uniquely gifted to be able to do this. As I mentioned, we have the opportunity to hire experts in different fields. Well, it's hard to go out and hire an expert at board-directed ministries because most churches have one board-directed ministry. We feel like, why spoil the fun? You know, let's have eight. And so we just jumped from one to eight. What's unique about Jim is he spent the first half of his career in the business world. And so he spent the first half of his world working in business context, then went to seminary, then became a senior pastor. And so he really does have a great blend of this business world and of this ministry, senior pastor world. And it's kind of fun to watch when one side comes out and when the other side comes out. I'm trying to predict it, you know, like what's going to happen? Which one am I going to get? But the experiences that he's had are very beneficial for these board-directed ministries because in many ways, many of them need that type of input in their ministry. And we'll just walk through them. Ike Reeder is the head of our seminary. He does a great job always recruiting. That role also takes into account needing to recruit students, raise money, generate faculty, have satellite campuses all over different places. And so Ike is just a high-energy, go-go-go guy. And so he has just done a fabulous job at the seminary upstairs. And by the way, has adjusted phenomenally well through COVID. Just literally, he's such an idea and we can get it done kind of guy, you know. It took him a couple of days, literally, and just shifted and then shifted again and shifted again. And so that's been excellent to keep people on track during this time and even to take advantage of it in some scenarios. Then Peggy with the ballet, who just does a phenomenal job taking over from her mother and leading our ballet and all that goes with that. And she as well has done a fabulous job trying to adjust during COVID. That's not an easy thing to do with a bunch of little ones. The ballet can be a little bit misleading, so I would just say this as to put it in context. You can come to a ballet and see, I don't know, a dozen, 15 young ladies dancing up on the stage and just doing a phenomenal job and think, I mean, how hard is it to lead 15 women? Okay, that ain't easy, but there's another 300 that are this size, that are involved in that ministry. So it's an incredible outreach opportunity and discipleship opportunity, and that's the essence of it. High quality ballet, but a goal to share Christ with each and every one of them and their families. There aren't many arts where the gospel is front and center the way it can be in that ministry. Then you have the Briarwood Christian School. Mr. Steiner, Stephen Steiner, is a superintendent. He's got an easy job, really. Not much happens in the school. COVID's easy. Nobody has opinion about masks. Everybody likes their teacher. All the athletes don't really. Parents don't care if their kids get to play or not. And people love paying money to do all that. So it's really an easy job. And so I don't even think you need to pray for Stephen. Obviously you do. That's a challenging job, and it's just getting harder. Education is very, very difficult, and very challenging endeavor. It is a tremendous ministry opportunity, but I don't know of any easy tremendous ministry opportunities. It is hard. It is a challenge, and it'll continue to be a challenge in many ways. And so we do need to lift them up in prayer. Right now we're trying to work through just getting school started through this first phase of getting school started, and Lord is really blessing. So we're encouraged about that. The next one you see there is the Briarwood Fellows. And the Briarwood Fellows is a group of, year to year it can move a person or two or a couple, but around 12 fellows who just graduated college. They come spend 9 months with us in a training program that Seth leads. And we try to equip them to have a seamless faith so that they don't think about, well, I'm going to be a doctor, an accountant, a nurse, or whatever, who's a Christian, but to try to put those two together. I am a Christian accountant. I am a Christian doctor. I'm a Christian nurse. And so to try to help them understand that, that probably hasn't been modeled to them. It certainly hasn't been taught to them in their educational track. And so that's a wonderful opportunity to try to identify potential leaders and develop them into leaders. Campus Outreach, Olin Stubbs leads the Campus Outreach Ministry, which basically is Campus Outreach Birmingham. You'll hear that said. That's the technical name because there are multiple other campus outreaches, but the footprint is bigger than what you would think of Birmingham. Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia-ish. So it's a bigger footprint than just Birmingham. Large staff, excellent ministry. Then Christian Medical Ministry, Benny's brother Bobby leads our Christian Medical Ministry, primarily focused at the medical school and the dental school, UAB. Excellent ministry, great rapport. That's been challenging because of COVID to be able to have access to students, but we're hoping and trusting that will continue for us to be able to do that. And Bobby just does a great job of boots on the ground ministry with them, not only here but on mission trips. He'll take them and he'll tell people, you know, I'll take you out of the country and I'll let you get to do dental work that never let you do in America, and you can't get sued. And they're like, let me go. He said, okay, all you got to do, you can go. All you got to do, you got to get a little money to go. It's not a problem, right? And then every patient, you got to share the gospel with them. Well, you got to do what? You have to share the gospel with them. I'm not a Christian. Oh, I'll teach it to you. Don't worry about it. But whatever I tell you, you got to tell them. Guess what happens? Yeah, they start going, hey, this gospel thing that we're sharing, is this real? I mean, you believe this stuff? And so it is an amazing opportunity. You kind of give them what they want in the context of a unique scenario for them. And the Lord's really blessed that ministry. And it even goes on into the docs and the wives of the docs, et cetera, and the husbands, et cetera. So it's a wonderful ministry. Then Young Business Leaders, Phil Reddick leads our Young Business Leaders ministry and focusing on small group ministry with businessmen and businesswomen. There's young business leaders and then women's business leaders, something that they've started called Second Half to try to reach out to people who are kind of in the second half of that career and uniquely minister to them. That's what Phil's giving much of his attention to. And then Quest is our sport, recreation, camp, trail life ministry outreach. And so all that is under that recreation branch that we call Quest. Now, all eight of those ministries have a board. Okay, so that's why we call them board-directed ministries. But all of them are under the authority of the session. Okay, so it's the that they're not under the independent authority of the board. Those boards are designed to be advisory boards so that they can focus on that particular target. In other words, the school board. There's not a separate school board that's independent of the church. The school's not a separate entity. The only one of our board-directed ministries that is a separate entity is the seminary. And the reason for that is accreditation. And so all the rest of them are not separate entities from the church. They are ministries of the church under the authority of the session. But we've put together boards so that they could speak to the specific unique issues related to ballet, related to college campus, related to medical ministry, et cetera. Come over to the one to the far right. That's our missions branch. How many of y'all knew Tom Cheeley? Raise your hand if you knew Tom Cheeley. Okay? So we are having a retreat down in Florida, and we only had four branches of ministry at the church. And I rode in the wrong car. And so we get to a gas station, and the other car says, "We have a great idea. We think that missions and Tom Cheeley should, y'all, Tom Cheeley was used by God to plant ministries and churches and even denominations all around the world. He wasn't easy to lead, okay? That kind of visionary, you know, Tom, you told them we would do what? You gave how much money to that? Okay, so praise the Lord for all that happened. So at this gas station, they say, we think that the missions department is important enough and big enough that it ought to be its own branch of ministry. Benny's back there grinning because he did the coup. And Tom off of his team and onto my team. But man, what an amazing guy. And just missions, you know, one of the great challenges for Pastor Reeder, you've heard him refer to this, and I would just say that this is probably even bigger than Harry makes it be when he talks about it to the church. And that was, would he be able to continue the unbelievable footprint of missions that the Lord had blessed through Dr. Barker? And would he mess that up? You know, would he come and be the pastor and it just didn't keep going, et cetera? And Tom, the Lord used Tom in a phenomenal way, and now Brian Winterstein to lead that ministry and to lead us in missions, which is critical for us, both global and national missions. So underneath our missions branch, which is very large, we have our national missions. Church revitalization, that's an open position that we're presently searching for. It's not easy to search during COVID, so the last 18 months have been a bit of a challenge, but we continue that process. Under that, our international ministry, so that would be primarily college students, but not maybe college and master, any kind of educational, typically connected to UAB, not exclusively, but you know, there are a lot of international students that come to Birmingham. And so we have the opportunity to reach out and to minister to them in a very unique fashion. And because we have well over 200 different international connections, missionaries that we support all around, then wherever they're from, we know somebody. We're supporting somebody. And so it can be kind of a home away from home for them and a wonderful ministry opportunity. Then we have our three international congregations, Hispanic, Japanese, and Korean, with Huel Acevedo, Ko Hamamatsu, and Sungmin Im, that pastor those congregations. Those are international congregations, so they do worship in their heart language. And so the preaching that they receive is Korean or Spanish and Japanese. And so that's a blessing that the Lord allows us to have those ministries. Those aren't large congregations by any stretch of the imagination, but they're a wonderful ministry opportunity for us. And all three, as you pray, have been significantly impacted by COVID. They're very unique and different, but the Japanese congregation tends to be people who come from large corporations. And so if they come to America, if they're here in Birmingham, they tend to work in real large companies, whether it be a couple of the Japanese companies or American companies. The Hispanic congregation tends to do a lot of manual labor, and so they're independent contractors, and you can imagine how they got impacted during COVID. The Korean congregation, uniquely, almost all of them are mom-and-pop businesses, and so they've got restaurants and some others. The restaurant's the number one. There's multiple different restaurants represented in the Korean congregation, and those just got clobbered during COVID. So if you would think to pray for them just in that unique fashion, we certainly would appreciate that. And then the urban pastor, Noah Despinos, leads us in that, and that is our ministry to get our people engaged in urban ministry into the inner city so that we would be able to facilitate that and that calling and kind of extend the global, the national, and then the local. Your Jerusalem, your Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth in reflection. So, and Brian, as I mentioned, leads that branch of ministry. Okay? Any questions about structure? Like I said, this is the senior staff team and then the first layer of people that report to them. So you might be going, now wait a second. What about so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so? Well, they would report to someone on this. There's another chart that goes, dunk, 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 opens up four more times, and then you begin to see where all of those fit in there. So any questions about the organizational chart? Yes, sir. Yeah, so when you get the budget, there's a section, so you get like a two-page overview of the budget. And there's a section there for board-directed ministries. And you'll look, and several of them are in the $100,000, $120,000, maybe $200,000. The two largest would be the school and campus outreach. They'd be the two, they're also the two largest financially, you know, ministries. It's not set by percentage. Most of those were inherited just the way things were set up as we moved into, because they weren't all started at the same time. So, you know, kind of the way that those went, all of them would need to generate funds. Now, some generate funds just through support, like you would go out and raise support in terms of a Phil Reddick, a Bobby Parks for YBL, CMMA. But then others are tuition-based. And so a school, a ballet, Quest, those types of things, they're not really out raising support dollars to a certain degree, but a lot of what they have then are fee-based, you know, where they're getting fees and tuition, that type of thing. And so they're responsible, those directors, and then those boards are responsible to generate the necessary funds. And we go every year through, and our process of identifying what part of the general fund, so our general fund budget's a net budget, okay? So it's how much do we give to them? As we go through to determine that, then every year that's a good opportunity. They have to work through their budget to justify that number. So it's kind of it forces them to be working through the process as well. So they're all a little bit different and unique. All right. I get asked sometimes about the different ministries and the budget. As I mentioned, ours is a net budget. If you were to put everything together, instead of the 12-ish, 13-ish million dollar budget of our net budget, you're probably more in the ballpark of $35 or $40 million if you just said what flows, what comes through. Now, it's in different places, in different pockets, et cetera, but that would be about what we manage and handle and try to be good stewards of. Okay? Any other questions about that? Yes. Yeah, that's a good question. So two things that we do. Every year, we do performance evaluations for every employee, okay? So every year, we do, of the 300, they're not all full-time, so I have to read all of them, so I probably read 140-ish performance evaluations that says, how is this person doing, the fit, et cetera. And so that produces sometimes what you're referring to, a look not just at the person, but the structure. Do we have the right structure? The second thing that we do is anytime there's an opening, you know, one of the things that Briarwood really, it's part of the DNA of Briarwood, it's not a commitment, it's a desire, and that's longevity. If you were to go to many other churches, you would be surprised at how much longevity we actually have at Briarwood. We only had two pastors. That's unheard of. I mean, that's inconceivable in most contexts. Watch this. Are y'all ready for this? Leanne, how long have you been here? No, Lynn. How long have you been here?
35.
Benny, how long have you been here?
37.
Okay. So we have longevity, okay? That's inconceivable, okay? You don't find that at different places. So when we do have turnover, then we take that every single time and we go do a look at, do we have it in the right place? Is it doing the right things? Do we need to readdress things, create a different profile? So that happens every time. You wouldn't necessarily know that we do it because we don't necessarily run that assessment up the flagpole, because you don't want to freak everybody out that every time somebody leaves, you're changing everything. But that gives us that opportunity to alter, tweak, et cetera. And, by the way, our boss is a visionary, and so he likes things to be fresh and new and different, which is good. All right, any other questions? Okay, flip over to the next page. Okay, so how do you make a decision at Briarwood? Honestly, the way we make it, it's real simple. The way we make decisions is slow, painful, and accurate, okay? That's our goal, all right? And we're pretty good at it, okay? Especially the slow part, all right? So we're Presbyterian, from beginning to end. But there's a reason for that. We don't have structure for the sake of structure. There really is a reason built into a method to the madness. So what we have designed is, if you to picture those five branches of ministry that we just mentioned, then on these grade boxes that are just, if you're coming from the bottom of the page up, you see the shepherding team commission, the board-directed ministry team commission, and the ministry team commission. Okay, the shepherding team commission mirrors the shepherding team. The board-directed ministry team commission mirrors the board-directed ministry team. And the ministry team commission combines, okay, it combines, you don't need the administrative, meaning that team in there, but it combines Benny's team, the ministry team, it combines the diaconate committees that come up through that, and the missions reports through that, okay? So basically then, you have through three different commissions of the session, plus the diaconate, the body of deacons, everything goes through one of those four to get to our session, and we have placed in between those four and our session a committee, a leadership team committee that is representative of all of our different groups, so staff, elders, and deacons. Okay, so if you were to come down then from the session, we just met Tuesday morning. And so what we did was we met as a committee, and that committee is made up of an elder chairman, an elder vice chairman, then the head, the chairman of the shepherding team commission, board directed team commission, ministry team commission, okay, then the diaconate chairman, vice chairman, and mercy chairman, and then Pastor Reeder, myself, and our church administrator, Matt Moore, okay? And so all the business is brought to us, and what this group does is very important. What this leadership team committee does then is to make sure that all the business is ready to go to the session. Well, now, Bruce, hold on a second. How come you guys get to decide what is ready to go to the session? Well, it's not as glamorous as it may sound. Basically, what you're doing is this. A committee over here, the youth committee. The youth committee decides that they want an indoor water park in the barn, okay? Don't think that's a crazy idea. It's been brought up, okay? So they want an indoor water park in the barn, and so they want to run it through the commission up to the session and find out, will the session approve an indoor water park? Now, I'm betting that the budget committee didn't consider that during the time they were working on the budget, and since it's during the year, I'll guarantee you the finance committee would like to speak to that, and the session wants to hear from them before they take it up. In other words, you don't want to take that to the session and go, hey guys, y'all want a water park? Sure. With the finance committee over there going, we're about to redo the roof and it's going to cost you $2.5 million. Okay? You ain't getting no water park, at least not this year or for the next 5 years as we pay for that. So you can't have a water park. So the leadership team committee says, has everybody spoken to it that needs to speak to it before we take it to the session? Sometimes there's not anybody else that needs to speak to it, and it just goes through. The bulk of business does that. Other times, you need the other parties to speak to it so that then, and the reason is because that's where we have placed people who are experts. We want to have looked at insurance before we go ask the session, do you want to fund water park? There's an insurance issue with the water park, and so we need to have looked at that. And oh, by the way, we have a committee that has people who do that for a living. Or we have a committee of people who are building in grounds. They build stuff like that for a living. They're experts. So what we want when we take something to the session is that we've already put it in front of the right committees and the right groups where we have intentionally placed expertise so that we can get the best possible decision that we can make as a church on something as glamorous as a water park or as not as glamorous as a new roof on top of the worship center. Now, it's important to note that while these shepherding board and ministry team, while these are commissions, which means they can act on behalf of the session, the leadership team is a committee. Now, this won't matter to you a whole lot, but my opinion would be if that leadership team were a commission, we would have a problem. In other words, if the leadership team could just say no, then nothing ever makes it to the session. Now you can hand pick what does and doesn't get to the session. The leadership team can't do that. All they can do is be the air traffic controller, the traffic cop, the make sure that everything's in its right place and it's ready to go to the session. Or sometimes something comes to the session and it goes back to the leadership team and then they figure out where does it need to go. Who all needs to put their fingerprints on this or chime in on this? So from left to right, we'll go across, and I'll do this quickly. The shepherding team commission, all the commissions have an elder chair, an elder vice chair, a staff person connected to it, and then they're made up. The shepherding team has all the shepherding pastors on it, the shepherding elder representatives, and you see the ministry teams down there, the white box to the bottom left. Then the other ministry teams that come up through that, report up through that, that just mimics or reflects the shepherding team, okay? They meet every other month and do the business of the church, the people side business of the church. The most common business that the shepherding team does is membership. So every month they're working through who joined, who's resigning, who's transferring, et cetera. That's every month. They work through that. Why? Because they're the people branch. They're the ones that know who everybody is. Now come over to the board-directed ministry team commission. Basically, it's real simple. All of the boards have a chairman or vice chairman that serves. One of them has to be a ruling elder. Okay, so the chairman or vice chairman of one of our board-directed ministries has to be an active ruling elder that keeps us connected, keeps us all on the same page. They serve on that board-directed ministry team commission together. They meet every other month. And what they do, their most common business is to replenish their boards. So they're going to all, you have eight board-directed ministries, and they all have board members who are rotating on and off. And so typically the business that would come up through them would be that we want to recommend this person or these people to be in the next class of the school board or of the ballet board or whatever it may be. Keep coming over. The ministry team commission, this is where most of the business side gets taken care of because this is where the diaconate committees are. If you look under ministry team commission, the white box to the right, committees, finance, human resource, budget, stewardship ed, mercy, communications, IT, building and grounds, Lord's Day, all of those report up through that, which means each one of those committees has two elder liaisons that serve on those. And they will attend the ministry team commission and bring the business. So we're working through the process right now for the budget. And eventually when we get to that point, then the budget committee chairman will present that budget up to the ministry team commission and then on to the session. Along with it, those ministries that are under First Minis team, missions, discipleship, evangelism, worship, children, youth, college, singles, women's, et cetera, they all sit in that room. This is the largest commission, okay, because it's got that ministry side and that diaconal committee side. Then the next box over is the diaconate, the chairman, vice chairman, ministry team chairman. You see the DAT is the diaconate administrative team, and that is where they hear from the chairman of each of these committees that they'll report the same business that's coming up through that. And then, of course, we mentioned the mercy team. Okay? So how does a decision actually get through all that process? Well, I mentioned to you that the Shepherding Team Commission, the Board Director Team Commission, and the Ministry Team Commission meet every other month. Okay? So at 1 week, the Ministry Team Commission meets on a Tuesday, the Shepherding Team Commission meets on a Thursday, and the Board Director Ministry Team Commission meets on a Friday. The next Tuesday, the leadership team meets. So all this business goes to the leadership team. The next Tuesday, the session meets. Okay? And you repeat that every other month. And that's the decision-making cycle. Okay? Because every other session meeting is business, and the other every other session meeting is shepherding and training. Okay? So we're on a two-month decision-making cycle. And in my job, I get to watch most everything go through the system, and I would simply say this to you. It gets better as it goes through. So I can remember hearing initial requests, because I'm in the budget committee or I'm in the HR committee, and I can remember hearing initial requests that now I've had to go from that committee to the ministry team commission to the leadership team, and you sit in the session and you go, now I'd do that. I mean, that's a well thought through. That thing got much better as it went through the system. Why? Because you had more eyes on it. By the time a decision gets to the session, easily 50 to 100 people have sat at a table and talked about it in some way, shape. Some at length, others for just that morning, but they've sat and talked about it, asked questions about it, refined it, whatever it was, and you get better decisions that way. Okay? Any questions about this? I know this is, you almost have to experience it to get it, but looking around the room, most of you have experienced it. Yeah. So when a decision goes from the leadership team and it's now on the session agenda, almost without exception, there's some unique exceptions that require two-thirds votes, but almost without exception, it's just a simple majority vote at the session level. So it's presented, any discussion about it, any questions about it. Now remember, in the room, you would have people who've already done this. So that's helpful. It's a very productive conversation, and then you take the vote. All right, other questions? All right, next page, last page, and it's really a summary page of what I just said, so it's easy. Basically, what this is simply just giving you a picture of is, so what happens? The source of a recommendation can be anybody, any member of our church, any committee, anybody can say, I recommend, we recommend, and then we got to figure out to who. You know, so but anybody can be the source of recommendation. Now you start sending it to the different places that we would work it through our system. So then it's going to go to some diaconal committee that we would bounce that through and figure out. And it could go to multiple diaconal. You know, if it's a staff position, we want a new position. That's not uncommon. Okay, well that's HR. But that's also budget for the coming. That's an ongoing expense, and it's also finance because you're probably doing it mid-year. So that's three committees that are going to need to talk about that and to give input upon that. So sometimes it's multiple different committees. Then to the session commission, whichever one that is, we looked at those three, on up to the leadership team, and then the session has the final approval on all of the actions. And we believe in our system, and basically one of the drums that I beat hopefully loudly and consistently and regularly is process is your friend. Trust the process. It is a little complicated. It is a little cumbersome. Trust the process. There are experts in throughout the system that will help and will be beneficial. And so it's trust the process, because what we want to do is to make sure that the session gets a fully baked, a fully deliberated over, a fully prepared decision to be put before them. Because when the session of the church votes, then we're going to receive that as the will of God for our church. We're not going to, they voted and I didn't like the way they voted, and so, oh, that's not the will of God. No, but when 75 men receive that all the way up through the system and receive that communication, that information, and they vote and they make a decision, then we are going to hold each other accountable that we're going to implement that then as the will of the Lord for our church. Now, that will could change. We've had things that over a 10-year period of time, we've done them all three different ways. So that can change, and sometimes time and space or circumstances will change something. But that's the way we're going to respond to it. Therefore, I think that argues for a system that is fair, that is balanced, that gets hand input, fingerprints, and a lot of eyes, and hopefully a whole lot of wisdom and prayer baked over all of our decisions. So any questions about that or anything else that I have covered? Because that's my last page.
I meant to ask this of Benny, but so we're a class of 2024. Is that a calendar year, or what happens in between the time you're installed or made, say, it, I guess, before 22, but is it a calendar year, or what happens? Do you stay in contact with
That's right. So what you so your term would be, you'd be trained during 21. There'll be an election at the end of 21 for the class of 24, which is going to be 22, which is from January, 22, 23, 24. Okay? So that 24 is telling you that's your last year of your term. Okay? And so there's, in both the diaconate and the session, there are three classes on a 3-year term. 25 and 42? Is that right, Benny? Yeah, 42 deacons, 25 elders in each class. So, all right. Other questions? Okay. So some of you will have done what I'm about to say. So this is you don't very few people leave this talk and go tell anybody about it. Okay. So you don't I have this much expectation. You'll even tell your wife what we talked about. Okay. I understand that. It does not offend me at all. Okay. Well, it does a little, but not much. It's hard to offend me. But what's going to happen is you're going to get out there and you're going to be on a committee, or you're going to be involved in a board-directed ministry, or you're going to be put on a commission, and all of a sudden then somebody in your class or you or somebody is going to want something to get done, and your name tag says deacon or elder on it, and they're going to go, hey, how come we can't get anything done around here? And you're going to go, where's that notebook? Just call me. Okay, like I said, I actually like this stuff. So just call me. We'll work our way through it and make it unique to whatever your particular situation is. Okay, not in a manner. I will not ridicule you. Look, I gave an excellent talk back on that Wednesday night back then. You really do have to experience this for it to work, and it is a fluid. It's set, but it's a fluid process, and so we figure out how do we work our way through that, and it's at that point that you'll want to know it, you'll want to understand it, and be able to digest it so you can serve well. You can serve your community, your ministry, whatever it is, so that you can serve them well. And I would just say this, you'll hear it, I'm sure, more times than this. In my mind, we tell our staff, and I would say to our officers, we do not hire our staff or elect our officers to be able to answer every question. We do hire our staff and expect them to respond well. So we do pay them to respond well. We don't pay them to have the answer to every question. But our theory is we can find the answer to the question. So as an officer, you don't have to master it all, but you are the source for other people, so that when things are happening, you might not know why or what at that point, but that's okay. That's fine. That's going to happen a lot. Okay? It's a big church, a lot going on. But you're the person that can get those answers. When you run up against that and you just don't know who to ask or where you would possibly get that answer, just text me, call me, email me, whatever, reach out. We'll figure it out. I've been doing it for a little while. We can come up with somebody that will know the answer to it. Okay? Write down 7:39. And if Pastor Reeder finishes at 7:38, I'll buy every one of y'all dinner. On Benny's budget. Can I pray? Or do you? All right, pray. Lord, Father, I do thank you, Lord. This is your church, Lord, and we want to be faithful to you as we minister to and in the bride of Christ. Lord, that's precious before us. And so, Lord, I thank you for these men, and I pray that you would guide and direct them as they go through this training. I thank you for the gifts and the experiences and the talents and the abilities you've given to them, Lord. And I pray that you would use all of that together in perfect harmony with a bond of love, with unity in Christ, and a desire to be faithful and committed to the mission you've put together, put for us to unite together around here at Briarwood. Lord, we do thank you for the structure and the systems, but only to the degree that they guide and direct us, that we might serve faithfully and that we might serve well, and that you may be honored and glorified in all that we do. And I pray that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.